Into Madness, only on KGNU.
KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM. And now for the Opera Box.
And good evening, everybody. A warm Monday evening. Welcome to KGNU's Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, sitting in for Chris Moore, who is away on assignment. KGNU's Opera Box, our newest addition to Monday night classical music. If you've tuned in for Cabaret, never fear. Cabaret is still here, but it has moved to Tuesday evenings. Tonight, I've got a playlist of opera in English. Music such as Gershwin's Summertime from Porgy and Bess. And music by Benjamin Britten, Douglas Moore, Deems Taylor, and Aaron Copland. So I hope you can join me for tonight's Opera Box. Summertime. And it sure feels like summer today. That was Summertime, the great aria from George Gershwin's opera Porgy and Bess. We heard Harolyn Blackwell, soprano, and Simon Rattle conducted the London Philharmonic Orchestra. It's 4 minutes after 7 p.m. This is Ron Nadel. You're listening to KGNU's Opera Box. As I said tonight, I have a playlist of great scenes from operas sung in English, with music by the British composer Benjamin Britten from his opera Billy Budd, and American composer Deems Taylor from his opera Peter Ibbetson, as well as music of Douglas Moore and Aaron Copland. Now, during the program, you can tweet me at Nadel_classical. That's N-A-D-E-L underscore classical. And you can visit the KGNU Facebook page and be part of the dialogue. You can also call me here at the studio at 303-442-4242. You'll find all the full programming schedule by visiting kgnu.org as well. Okay, for our next sample, we're going to hear a scene from the American composer Douglas Moore's opera, The Ballad of Baby Doe. Moore's opera tells the sad story of Colorado silver tycoon Horace Tabor, who fell in love with the younger, beautiful Baby Doe. Tabor and Baby Doe become penniless after the United States went from the silver standard to the gold standard, and he tenaciously hung on to his dream that silver would make a comeback. Well, in this scene, Baby Doe and Horace Tabor meet for the first time, and like tonight, it's a lovely evening. Tabor is returning to his hotel from the opera with his Victorian wife Augusta and their friends. Augusta has gone up to their room, and Tabor is outside smoking a cigar, and Baby Doe is staying at the same hotel as they are. She is singing to herself at the piano in the lobby, sort of an American folk song, and Tabor is enchanted by her singing, and that's when they meet, and they're instantly attracted to each other. But they're interrupted when Augusta comes down calling Tabor up to bed. This is from the first act of Baby Doe by Douglas Moore.
That's the prettiest name I ever had the luck to hear.
You know my name? How is that possible?
Baby doll of mine, a sweetheart. I'm just a minor too.
But you are
That's the second scene from The Ballad of Baby Doe by Douglas Moore, the scene where Baby Doe and Horace Tabor meet for the first time. It's 19 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Ron Nadell. I'll be with you till 8 p.m., and then James Weiss will be here this evening with A Classic Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. And as I said, I've got a playlist of scenes from operas in English. But be sure to stick around for A Classic Monday. Now, my next excerpt is from Deems Taylor's opera, Peter Ibbetson. Now, the American composer Deems Taylor based his opera, Peter Ibbetson, on the 1891 novel of the same name by British author George Du Maurier. This melodramatic novel was adapted into a Broadway play, a silent film, this opera, and another movie in 1935. It's a mystical, spiritual story of the eternal love between Peter Ibbetson and his childhood friend Mary, or Mimsy, as he calls her. Peter and Mimsy met and fell in love as children in France. Peter is known by the name of Gogo, but he is taken away to live in England. There he's given the name Peter Ibbetson and raised as a gentleman. When he returns full grown to France, he is a well-known man of means. And in the scene you're going to hear, Peter meets the Duchess of Towers at a fancy gathering. And as they talk politely, it suddenly becomes clear that he is Gogo and she is Mimsy. They recognize each other and run into each other's arms. Their earlier feelings return. And so Mimsy says that they must never meet again. She is a married woman. She goes to leave the room, and Peter holds out his arms for her. She pauses as if she might stay, but then turns and leaves. And if you're not familiar with the opera, it's really great, and the plot is very, very melodramatic. Peter is later falsely convicted of murder, but he's able to stay in contact with Mimsy because they visit each other spiritually in their dreams, even after death. Great story, makes perfect material for an opera. So we're going to hear their recognition scene from Act Two of Peter Ibbetson by the American composer Deems Taylor.
With all my heart, for I too I first saw you, you must have seen how I stared at you. I hope you have forgiven me.
I did not mind, for you were so like someone that I once knew. A little French boy who was kind to me when I was a little girl.
I was a little French boy once. I had to change my name when I went to live with my uncle in England.
What was your name?
Pasquier, Gogo Pasquier.
Understand.
recognition scene from Act Two of Peter Ibbetson by American composer Deems Taylor. We heard Anthony Dean Griffey as Peter Ibbetson and Lauren Flanagan as Mimsy, with Gerard Schwartz conducting the Seattle Symphony. It is 7:35, and this is Ron Nadell. You're listening to KGNU Opera Box. Tonight I've got a playlist of opera in English. Now, that was an opera by an American based on a British novel. Now we're going to hear an opera by an Englishman based on an American novel. We're going to hear a scene from Benjamin Britten's opera, Billy Budd. And this opera is based on the short American novel of the same name by Herman Melville. It's a story about the sailor Billy Budd, who's loyal and handsome, and he stutters seriously sometimes. And in this scene, Billy Budd has already made an enemy of the ship's master at arms, John Claggart. And Claggart intends to frame Billy, falsely accusing him of treasonous disaffection. It's 1797, and England is at war with France. Well, the captain of the ship, Captain Vere, and the crew are in enemy waters. So they are on the lookout for French ships, and the fog is thick. The men are restless and tense. And then John Claggart approaches the captain. He begins to talk to the captain, but before he can spill out his accusation, an enemy ship is sighted, and then there is great excitement on board and lots of activity as the men prepare to attack. It's a great choral scene. They fire off one of their long 18-pounders, but the enemy is too far, and then the fog closes in on them, adding to the tension. The novel and the opera come to a tragic climax. Claggart falsely accuses Budd of treason, and in trying to defend himself, the stuttering Billy Budd strikes out at Claggart, killing him accidentally. And because it's a time of war, Billy is hung for causing the death of a superior officer. We're going to hear the battle scene from Billy Budd by Benjamin Britten.
See you. came to you at once.
Speak freely. What is it?
Your Honor, I have served my country long and have striven in all ways to serve you here upon the Indomitable.
Master at arms, your work is satisfactory. What do you want to say?
Would that I need not say it. Lord, I could keep silent, but there is danger, sir, there is danger of all, danger from one who...
Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Portland, we'll see. canvas set may talk. All canvas set, sir. Too little for this breed, I'm afraid. Are we making Mr. Redburn?
Very, sir.
Making.
Again, today we lost her for good.
That was the battle scene from Act Two of Billy Budd by British composer Benjamin Britten. And in this recording, we heard Peter Pears as Captain Veer, and we heard Michael Langdon as the evil John Claggart, Master of Arms, with Benjamin Britten, the composer himself, conducting the London Symphony. There's actually two versions of that opera. There's a four-act version and a two-act version. They contain almost all the exact same music. It's just that Britten took the original four acts and he essentially grouped all of the scenes into two acts. This was the two-act version conducted by Britten himself. It's about 6.5 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU's Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadell. Coming up at 8 o'clock, A Classic Monday with James Weiss. Well, I'm going to conclude our survey of opera in English with the great Act One quintet, The Promise of Living, from the opera The Tender Land by Aaron Copland. The opera was written for television, and it premiered on NBC in 1954, back in those great days, those golden days when the arts were seen as important TV events. The Tender Land takes place in the 1930s and tells the story of Laurie, a young woman who lives on a farm in the heartland of America with her mother, her grandfather, and her younger sister. Well, two young drifters come by looking for work, and her grandfather, at first suspicious, eventually hires them to help with the harvest, and he invites them to dinner. It's a wonderful quintet with Laurie, her grandfather, her mother, and the two hired hands singing a song of thanksgiving, thankful for the harvest and for good friends. Later in the opera, Laurie falls in love with one of the young men, and they plan to run away. Ironically, to her, the young stranger represents freedom. To him, her love represents confinement. So when the morning comes, he has run away without her, but she leaves the farm to follow him. The Promise of Living, from The Tender Land by Aaron Copland.
Sharing
The Promise of Living, the quintet from Act One of The Tender Land by Aaron Copland. For this recording, we heard Elizabeth Camot, Janice Hardy, Leroy Lair, Dan Drayson, and James Bone, with Philip Brunel conducting the Plymouth Music Series. And that concludes tonight's Opera Box. Stay tuned now for A Classic Monday with James Weiss. Listen. There are those who feel opera belongs to the past, who feel opera is elitist, who feel opera is hard to understand, who feel opera is cliché. There are those who feel opera speaks directly to the heart, who feel opera transports them to new worlds. KGNU lets you feel opera. Monday evenings, 7 to 8 p.m., KGNU brings you the Opera Box, the best seat in the house for experiencing all the facets of the opera world. Hosts Chris Moore and Ron Nadel are your guides with the music, the artists, the recordings, the interviews, and the Colorado opera scene. KGNU's Opera Box, Mondays at 7 p.m. Open it if you dare to feel.
Ah, beautifully done, Ron. You are listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM and 1390 AM. And we're going to change over from opera into A Classic Monday. So tonight, for the next 2 hours, until 10 p.m., I have something of an eclectic array of classical musical composers. And we'll get right into it. This will be Eugene Liszt at the piano with Edward McDowell's Piano Concerto No. 2 in D minor. The Larghetto Kamado, otherwise known as the first movement from this.